Folks, welcome to today's Coffee and Colossians. It's Friday, it's the end of the week. We're at Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Well, where we're at with this is in Colossians 2:8. We're talking today about relativism. Now, what is relativism? It's very important, because it's how our culture is run, and I think it's how our culture is run badly. It is the doctrine that knowledge, truth, and morality exist in relation to culture, society, or historical context, and are not absolute. So from a Christian perspective, we would say that God's word is absolute, and that's how we work out things. How do you work out what is right and wrong? In a modern relativistic aspect, they say, well, it's just a societal construct. So if society, for example, says that a man can be a woman, then hey, that's fine. It's society that says that. But what that means is, it means that our morality comes from the rich and from the powerful. Let me explain a kind of how this works. I mean, if there's no absolutes and everything is relative, then we're into postmodernism. So I'll give you some examples. Australia's, I'm looking at my screen just now, and Australia's cyber watchdog has sent a notice to Twitter CEO Elon Musk demanding that the social media platform explain how it's combating online hate. That sounds very good, doesn't it? They're going to threaten to fine them. Two problems with this, though. How do you define online hate? And secondly, how do you quantify it? They're saying they've received lots of complaints, but if people want to shut down points of view. So Australia's online regulator was not complaining when people like me were getting lots of abuse on Twitter, even to the point of death threats. No complaint there. But now, again, I think this is because of the trans issue, there's real problems. And here's why, because when there's no absolute standard, they just make it up. They just say, you can't do this, you can't say this, you can't. So actually, relativism doesn't lead to an open, tolerant, diverse society. It leads to a narrower, increasingly intolerant one. And then let me explain relativism in another way. So I did a debate at the University of Cambridge, and at one point, the president of the Atheist Society, or the vice president or something, one of my opponents stood up and said, Auschwitz is wrong, is not a fact. Or Dachau is wrong, is not a fact. And I challenged him, and he said, well, can you prove it's wrong? We can prove gravity is wrong. I think Auschwitz is wrong, but can you prove it? If morality is a societal construct, then if the Nazis were in power, we would be saying Auschwitz was right. And I said, yeah, I can prove it. I think so. And he said, okay. Well, I said, your problem is this. You're starting from the position that there is no God, and if there is no God, there can be no absolute morality. That's what Richard Dawkins agrees with, actually. Without an absolute supreme being, you do not end up with an absolute morality. And he said, yeah, but you're starting with the view there is a God. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm starting with the view that if you attack, rape, and kill my daughter, it's wrong. And every person in this room would agree with that. And we then ask, why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong? We know it's wrong. And as we keep asking, what we get back to is there is a God. There is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. Another time I was in a debate with a professor of philosophy in Jackson, Mississippi. And at one point, it was on his home territory. And at one point, he made the phrase, there are no absolutes. And I said to him, are you absolutely sure? He said, oh, you're not going to get me like that. You're not going to get me. But I already had him. Because the statement, there are no absolutes, if it's not absolutely true, then it's meaningless. If it is absolutely true, it's self-contradictory. So here, I think, is the Christian answer to all this. Where do we get our absolutes from? And I think, you know, I wrote so many kind of notes on all of this. The Bible talks about being dragged here and there by every wind of doctrine, and it tells us to come back to the measure of God's word. And, you know, again, because I'm thinking of the young teens in Orange and elsewhere, and any teens who are watching this, There's a great verse in the Bible that I think is very, how do you know what's right and wrong? How can you keep on the straight path? Well, I would suggest, I don't have time for it, I would suggest you read the whole of Psalm 119. But let me just come to you with the beginning of the second stanza of it, the second strophe of it in verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. So God gives his absolute standard to us in our hearts because we're made in his image. That's what Romans 2 says. He also gives us his absolute standard in his word. And you know this, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think our whole society would be a whole lot better if people realized that and we stopped just making it up as we went along or relying on the elitist academic halls of Harvard and Yale and Oxford and Cambridge and the University of Sydney and whoever else to tell us what's right and wrong. The philosophies of this world, relativism doesn't work. It leads to authoritarianism. But if we act relative to the word of God, to the purity of Christ, then we live, then we're on the right path. We're going the right direction. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. That's where you find truth. That's where you get morality. And that's where you can deal with the anarchy and chaos and authoritarianism in our culture. So God bless you. See you for the Sunday Catechism on Sunday and back on Monday. And I think we'll do just a couple more of these and then we'll continue on into verse 9. Bye.